third week of a series called Consumed by What? And the reason we're doing this series is that we are consumers. We've been trained to be consumers. We live in a consumer culture. It's everything about our lives are this way. And imagine as a consumer that you go to a department store, you know, like a Costco or Target or Walmart, and you go there and you want to buy toilet paper and there is no toilet paper. I don't mean just not your brand. I mean there is nothing. No toilet paper at all. Or imagine going to the grocery store and you have to stand in line for an hour to buy a gallon of milk. Or imagine you got your kids and you're going to go to Cold Stone or some ice cream shop, you know, Dairy Queen, and they say there's no ice cream. Not just your flavor of ice cream, there is no ice cream. That's crazy. Because in a consumer culture, we want it all and we want it now. And we're only going to go to places that have it all and have it now. That's just the way it is. When we were missionaries in Ukraine, and thank you for letting me inundate you with my Ukraine stories. We went there when it was a country that no longer exists called the Soviet Union. And it was a time of incredibly terrible economic situation. In fact, we had ration coupons for basics like butter and sugar and socks and soap and things like that and shampoo. And it was really a difficult time. And so, you know, I just use these illustrations. There was a time when we needed toilet paper, and toilet paper was not to be found anywhere. Now you're thinking, so what did you do? You get creative. So one day I was in a department store, and I came across this section, and there was toilet paper. I was so excited. Now, I'm new in the culture. I'm still learning the language, you know, but I'm getting along. And so I pulled out my rubles. At the time, that's what we used was rubles, and I held out my rubles, and I pointed to the toilet paper just to make sure everything was clear, and I did six. I wanted six rolls of toilet paper. And she said in Russian something like this, "Нельзя. Вы не можете купить туалетную бумагу. Это отдел Чернобыль." I had no idea what she was saying. I just wanted to buy toilet paper. So I put the money on the counter, slid it towards her, did six, pointed to the toilet paper. She went through the whole speech again, and she wouldn't let me buy it. There it is. It's right there, and I can't buy it. So I went and found my friend, and I brought him back with me. I go, "You got to help me figure out how I buy that toilet paper." And when we walk up to it, he goes, "Oh." He says, "You can't buy toilet paper there," which is what she was saying to me in Russian. That's just what I said to you. He says, "That is a department that is just for those workers who were cleaning up the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl." In other words, the workers who risked their lives to with radiation, cleaning up that mess, got some special perks. They got to buy toilet paper. Okay, then it makes sense, you know. That's why I can't buy toilet paper. When we came back the very first time, I remember we went into the grocery store. I think it was a Kroger, and I remember walking down the aisle where the cereal was. Both sides of the aisle, all the way down, hundreds of brands in different size boxes of cereal. It was so overwhelming that there were so many options that I literally started to cry. We call that reverse culture shock. You know, when you leave your culture, you go to another culture, you get used to that culture, and then you come back and you go, "It's all here. That's the culture that we live in. It, you know, you could go on, go down the toothpaste area, you know, over 40 different kinds of toothpaste and shampoo, and it goes on and on. In our culture, we have so many choices. In fact, some say it's a problem of overchoice. We have too many choices. And in this complexity of our consumer world, so one of the things I love about the Bible, one of the things I love about God who communicates to us through the Bible, is all that complexity is simplified. We have thousands of decisions and choices that we make a day. I mean, if you just start thinking through all the options that you have just through your day, it's unbelievable. And yet we can, the Bible helps us cut through all of that complexity and brings us to this place where, in fact, really, in life, there's really two major options. Now, those two options cover a lot of other decisions and options that we have, but there's really just two major options. And those two options are actually the answer to one question. And the one question is this. You ready? What consumes you? What consumes you? What dominates your life? It's another way to say it. Another way to say it is, what are you living for? And how you answer that question really comes down to two basic options that we're going to look at today. And how we answer that what consumes you or what consumes me question, it will determine everything else. It's that important. So being so important, we want to look at what the Scripture has to say about this. And we're going to look today at a passage of Scripture from the letter called Hebrews. So I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It's on page 845. And as you're turning there, let me give you a little background about this letter called Hebrews. The letter of Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were being persecuted. Okay? So they had been raised Jewish, they had become Christians, followers of Jesus, and now they're being persecuted because of that. And this letter is written to do two things. One, to encourage them. You'll see Hebrews is in our Bible reading plan coming up in September. And so as you read it, you'll see there's encouragement for them to be faithful to God in the midst of this. But it's also a book of warnings. Warning to not be afraid of what they're experiencing, warning them not to fall away from the living God. And so it's a book of encouragement and warnings. And what we're going to look at, the passage we're going to look at, is actually the fifth warning. There's five key warnings in the book of Hebrews, and this is actually the fifth and final warning that they're given. And so before we read the actual text, let me just tell you what was said before this text. Then what we read will make more sense. The writer of Hebrews reminds these Jewish Christians who know the Old Testament really well, that they reminds them about the time when God gave the law, the Ten Commandments and more, to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai. And the story that we're told in the book of Exodus is that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, God gave him the law that there was lightning and thunder. I don't know where you live and what happened last night, but at 4 o'clock last night, we had lots of lightning and thunder, and it rained for 45 minutes. It was great. But I mean, this was not the welcomed kind of lightning and thunder. I mean, the ground shook, and the people, the Bible says the people were terrified. They were so afraid that they asked God to stop. They wanted him not to speak anymore because just his voice was so thundering that it terrified them. Okay, so that's the background. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 25. Remember where we're going with this. There's a question. What consumes you? We have two basic options. That's what we're going to see played out here. Starting in verse 25, the beginning of this warning. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Why does he say that? Because back on Mount Sinai, they said, don't speak, God, shut up. That's sort of what they said. See to it you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate that removing of what can be shaken, that is the created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So the beginning of the warning is, don't refuse him who speaks. Listen to God. Be really careful to be attentive to what God is saying and who God is and what he wants. So that's the beginning of the warning. And then he reminds them about what happened on Mount Sinai. And what he's essentially saying is this. He's not talking about Mount Sinai anymore. He's talking about the future. One day, God will shake everything that has been created. And one day, what will last will not be what is shaken, but what will be unshaken, which we'll see in just a minute. What he's talking about here is there is a day in which this life, this world that we know, the here and the now, will not stand. All that's created. It's not going to remain forever. It just won't last. The world as we know it will end. It's not a forever thing as we know it. It's too messed up. And one day God will say, it's over. All these things that we depend on, that we rely on, that we think are so important, that we invest ourselves in, one day they're all going to be gone and they will no longer exist. And they'll be replaced. They'll be replaced with that which is eternal. And so we have these two categories, the here and now and the eternal. That which can be shaken and will be shaken, and that which can never be shaken. And so now the question is, what consumes you? And here are two options. What will you allow to consume you? What will you allow to dominate your life? What will you live for? That which can be shaken and will not last, the here and now, or that which is eternal and can never be shaken? That's the choices before us. And these persecuted Christians, that's the struggle they're facing. Am I going to live for this life? Am I going to lie about the fact that I'm a follower of Jesus just to save my life here? Or am I living for eternity? Now, we don't face maybe that dramatic of a choice, but nonetheless, that choice is before each and every one of us. And so the warning is, what consumes you? This is the key point. What consumes you? The now or the eternal? What consumes you, the now or the eternal? Now think about the now. Do we want to invest our lives in just the now? Do we want to invest our lives in something that will not last forever? This life, as we know it, is sort of a one and done, and then it's gone. Now, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that we don't care about this world. It doesn't mean we don't care about influencing this world. But it's the focus on that which is eternal that shapes how we live in this world. This world is not the end game. This is not all there is because it's too shaky. Imagine if your investor, whoever your counselor is, financial counselor or banker or maybe a good friend who dabbles, you know, in investments, says to you, says, I got an investment I want you to invest in. You say, well, tell me a little bit about it. Well, it's really shaky. In fact, I can guarantee it's not going to last. But I want you to really invest in this. You'd go, why would I want to do that? That's exactly what the evil one does to us all the time. He tempts us that somehow this world and all that it has is everything, and we invest our all into it, but it's shaky. And fact is, it's not going to last. Now, let's continue to verse 28. Therefore, okay, conclusion. That's what therefore means, conclusion. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, the kingdom of God, where God has influence in our lives, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. I love how God is described. He's a fire that consumes. And now, you can spend literally the rest of today thinking through what that actually means, and I feel absolutely inadequate to totally unpack that concept of God as a consuming fire, but I think the core of it is this. God is going to consume us if we yield to Him. What that means is He will have His way. It's His way, not our way. We don't come to the God who created the universe, the Lord, the King, the only Lord, the only King. We don't come to Him and negotiate how we're going to live our lives. Well, let me tell you how we're going to do this. No, He's a consuming fire. That's what it means for Him to be the Lord, that He's the King, He's the Lord, His rule is complete, there's no negotiation. You can't escape His power. We don't control the fire, we don't control God, but rather He has His way with us. He calls the shots. So let me kind of draw this out a little bit. You see here on this whiteboard the question, what consumes me? And let's illustrate it this way. Circle represents life on earth. Okay, all that entails. My house and how my house looks and how my house functions. My car, my retirement. My career, going to school, relationships, everything. It's all of this. It's life on earth right now. And what we just read, remember the question, what consumes me? If this is what consumes me, then that's it. Because we know that one day this will be shaken. But there's another piece to this picture. And let's just use a little arrow to describe it. We're going to call this eternity. There's something else that can consume us. It's the God of eternity. Now, what happens when that is what consumes us is that shapes everything else of how life works here. Because now we begin to look at life on earth from the perspective of eternity. Doesn't mean this isn't important at all. It just means that now this life is shaped by this. But it matters what consumes us. Is this what consumes us, or is this what consumes us? And it is one or the other. And that's why this question is so critical. There's a nationally known pastor. And I don't really care what you think about all of his theology or not, and that's not the point of this story. His name is Rick Warren, Saddleback Church in California. Rick Warren wrote a bestseller. I don't even know how many millions he sold. I think he sold like 70 million copies. I don't know. I don't know what he made. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I don't know what he made, but let's just say he made $1 a book. Well, you could do the math. He became instantly wealthy. Now, here's the deal. What consumes this man's life? Is it this? Now he's a really rich pastor. Or does eternity shape who he is. He took all of that windfall. He has the same house he lived in before he wrote the book, drives a normal car, paid back all of his salary to the church that he'd ever made, and invested that money in work all around the world, transforming nations with that money. That's an example of a man who is consumed by eternity, not by the things of this life. And because of that, made a difference in this life. When we really get eternity, then we begin to ask some questions like Rick Warren did. What's really enough? All of a sudden, and that's what he did, he said, what I make now before I made all this extra money on my book sales, what I made before was enough, and I'm going to continue to live on that, and everything else goes towards the things that will make an eternal difference in people's lives. And that's what we're called to, and that's the warning that we see. This all really hit home this summer for me. We had in our student ministry, this incredibly cute little middle school girl named Grace Sullinger. Just the sweetest little gal. She contracted an extremely rare disease, like only 100 plus people in all the world have ever gotten this thing, an amoeba. And symptoms started to show, and within days, she was dead. No cure. They don't even understand how the whole thing works. I did a memorial just recently for a guy, 54 years old, physical therapist, extremely healthy. I mean, this guy's physical health regime is unbelievable. And as he was running up in Sabino Canyon at 54, he has a heart attack. He's dead. What's interesting to me with both of those families, the Sullinger family and David's family, was that as I met with them, there was an incredibly powerful peace in their lives. The peace radiated from them. Now, they were sad at the loss of the ones they loved. They were grieving. But at the same time, they were at peace because they were not consumed by this world alone. They were consumed by the God of eternity. And it gave them a living hope that allowed them to approach this whole experience far different than what I typically experience when people lose those they love. My dad passed away in June. The chaplain was one of the last people to speak with him before he died, and she shared with me that she asked my dad, she said, Ray, how are you doing at this moment, knowing that he was nearing the end of his life? And he said, I've had a good life. I have no regrets. I'm ready to meet the Lord. That's the kind of life we want to live. Live a good life, but our focus isn't here. We're not tied to this. We're tied to something far bigger, far greater, a world, a life that can never, ever be shaken. And so we ask the question, what consumes you? Now or eternity? Because the eternal focus changes everything now. That's the trick. An eternal focus changes everything now. It changes the way we interact with people. People are no longer just objects that we encounter in this life. People that we encounter are people who need God. And in Tucson, the numbers are always a little bit squishy, but I'll guarantee you we're pretty close when we say that 90% of Tucson is not going to attend any church anytime. So 9 out of 10 people that we meet don't have a living relationship with the living God. Marriage. Is marriage just about how I get my needs met? Or do we look at marriage from an eternal focus? That maybe I'm married to an imperfect person because God wants to grow me. Now, I know what you're all thinking is, yeah, he or she's not very perfect. It goes both ways, just so you don't forget. Maybe I'm married to an imperfect person because I need to learn how to be more like Jesus, because one day I will face Jesus face to face in eternity. And even farther, does God want to use my marriage to make a difference in the lives of others? And that could include, of course, our kids. Are kids just these little people that we endure till they grow up and get out of our hair? I know some of you go, I admit that sometimes. Or do we see our kids with the view of eternity? How do I help them see and experience that there is a world so much greater that will never be shaken, to give them an eternal vision as they live life on earth? Work. It's work about getting a paycheck and hopefully a promotion to get a bigger paycheck. Or is work an opportunity to help people that you work with see that there's something far greater than the daily grind? You see, in all of this, it's really about what Jesus asks us to pray about. Every day is an opportunity to bring a little piece of heaven into our world, to bring a bit of eternity into our world. That's why Jesus asks us to pray, "Your kingdom come." Your kingdom is his influence. Your kingdom, your influence come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are agents to create that and have that happen. So what consumes you? I have a piece of paper. Pretty flimsy. And this paper, I think, represents the now. It's a symbol. It's real. We can touch it. It can be useful. Could have been really useful in Ukraine. This would have been really valuable in Ukraine. But one day, God will put an end to all of this. And it says it'll do it by fire. And it'll be gone. Just like that. Is that what we want to consume us? Here, one moment, and gone the next. Or do we want to live for something far more meaningful, something that will never be shaken, that will have an eternity a part of it, at the core? And that's what we're invited to be a part of. And so we decide how we'll use our life resources, our time on earth, our conversations while we're on earth, our relationships, our money and possessions. Will we see all of those things from an eternal perspective and use them to make a difference now? Determining what's enough for me so that I'll have plenty to share with others. Time, service, resources. What are we consumed by? What are we consumed by? That's the question. What consumes you? Here and now? Or eternity? The deal is, we have to choose. We especially have to choose if we want to live from beyond this life. And you can't have it both ways. It's one or the other that will dominate. You can't have both dominate. One will overpower the other. And what you choose will consume you. Did you hear that? What you consume will consume you. That's the way it works. Life on earth, will it dominate? Or will you choose the God of eternity to really have his say in your life? Our God is a consuming fire. I know that some of you came this morning just to come to church. Maybe just because you needed a little peace. Got rid of the kids over there, you know. Whew. Didn't come to church planning to have to do anything. But if you've never made the clear decision to be consumed by God, I want to invite you to make that decision today. It's that important. I want to invite you to say, I want God to have his way in my life. I want him to dominate my life. How I use my time, what I think about, what I believe, how I serve, how I use this life on earth. I want it to be for God. I want him to have his way in my life. And so in a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to make that decision. I'm going to ask our pastors and elders to come right down. And in a moment, we're going to sing a song. And they're going to be up here. And if you are ready to make that decision, I want to invite you to come and tell them that I'm ready for God to consume me. I'm ready for him to have his way in my life. I'm ready to follow Jesus. Or maybe you have a question. There's still something that's not clicking for you, and these folks would love to talk with you, and they're here to do that with you. Take this opportunity to make the decision, the clear decision to be consumed by God. So I want you to stand, and as we stand, I'm going to ask our servers if you would also prepare. And Paul is going to lead us. And if you are ready, come on forward. Our folks are here. They'll be glad to talk with you.
I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning here.
consumed by God? To be even clearer with the choice to live for eternity. We're talking about spiritual growth. To become more and more surrendered, submitting more and more of our lives to be consumed by God. It's the very best life. And there are two critical pieces to that. There's a lot of things that God uses to help us experience that, but there's two absolutely critical things that are always be there. One is we got to listen to God. That was the first part of the warning. We listen to God best through His Word. And so I just want to remind you, we need to be in God's Word on a consistent basis to let God speak to us through His words. That's why we developed our Bible reading plan. You can pick this up in this card in the lobby, or you can subscribe online, but it's one of the ways that helps us to consistently let God speak to us. The second way that's absolutely vital is that we have a spiritual community. That we have people who know us and we know them, and people who can pray for us and encourage us and challenge us when we need to be challenged, holding us accountable for the growth that we know that we need, who can call us on our stuff when we need to be called on our stuff. And one of the very best ways that happens is in a small group. And so today we're calling the Today Connect Weekend, because in Coop Court, we've got a whole bunch of groups that are open and willing to have you come and join and be a part of their group. What's cool about that is you can find out what they're doing, you can find out who's in the group and all kinds of details even before you go. So I want to challenge you to take the risk to be in connection with people who God will use, because God speaks through His people. And I want to even go farther. A whole bunch of you can actually start a group. Yeah, get a couple friends, and we've got tools for you. We've got this box there. In fact, when you go into Coop Court, you'll see Cindy at the table there. She's got this nice box. It's called Group Leader in a Box. Everything you need. No excuses. Even your first sessions are all there on DVD, and how to do it. And we'll help you, and we'll walk you through that, to help others to truly be consumed by the God of eternity. And so be in His Word and be in a group and take the opportunity that we have in Coop Court today. We come to our time of communion. And really what this time is all about is connecting with our God, who is a consuming fire. In a moment, the servers will pass the communion tray. If you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to participate. Take the cup of juice, the piece of bread, pass the tray to the next person, and then use that time to encounter a God who's a consuming fire. It's a great opportunity just to confess. Can't confess that you've been living primarily focused maybe for life on earth, not focused on the things of eternity. And then submit. When we encounter the God who's a consuming fire, we submit. We say, Your way. Have Your way with me. After communion, we take an offering. God's been really clear. Give to Him first. Give generously and joyfully. Why? Because He's a consuming fire. Are we consumed by Him? Then all of that is very real and very possible and can be done with joy when we're consumed by God. Let's pray. Father God, consume us. Help us remove whatever gets in the way of love, allowing You to have Your way with us. Help us not be fooled by what is actually so temporary, with all the stuff in our lives and all the things that we think are so important to accomplish, all the things to fix, all the things to experience, that really those are just going to pass away and be forgotten in eternity. God, give us an eternal perspective And may that shape how we live to honor our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.